Turn to Luke chapter 19, please. Luke 19. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. I'm using the New International Version from 1978-84 time. So it says there, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, that's a noble attribute, being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You realize in a couple days, we're going to change to another year. We're bringing back the Roaring Twenties, is what I understand. I guess I'm going to have to learn the Charleston all over again. So, but anyway, what is notorious, though, or what do we notoriously do as we end a year and get ready to begin a new year? What are some of the things that we do? We make resolutions, okay? We're going to make resolutions. Maybe you've already made some and plan on keeping them. Maybe you kept the ones that you made last year. But this is notoriously what we do. Most of the time, the resolutions that we make have to do with something we want to change in our behavior, something in our eating habits, or something that we didn't get to do and we just regretted that we've never got to it. We make those kind of resolutions in general. We very seldom say, I want to be kinder, I want to be more gentle, whatever, that type of thing, more character things. They're usually something much more specific than that. But we make our resolutions. With that in mind, as I looked over this passage of Scripture, I kept thinking about this man making a change. This man is making a fantastic change in his life. And we're going to explore that for just a little bit and then talk about it a little bit at the end. Need to have the context first. Most of you recognize Luke chapter 19 is well past the halfway mark of the book of Luke. And if you take a peek ahead in the chapter, you get down in verse 28, you got the triumphal entry. So we're talking about late in Jesus' ministry. He's facing the cross. He's getting ready to go into Jerusalem, spend that whole week in controversy and battle with the scribes and the Pharisees and all the ones that want to persecute him to have nothing to do with him. And then he's going to face the cross on that Thursday and Friday situation. Garden of Gethsemane on Thursday, and Friday morning the cross. All that is very close as this takes place here. Zacchaeus is a man of note. You'll notice as you read the passage in verses 2, he's a very wealthy man, and he's also one of the chief of the tax collectors. One of the chief ones. I mean, he's got status. He's got prestige. Now, most of the Jews did not like tax collectors, but still, people look up to wealthy people. We may not like something about somebody, but if they got wealth, all of a sudden, they got some sort of influence that maybe they didn't have with us before. So this man's got some power, he's got some wealth. He's a chief at his business that he does. Now, he wants to encounter Jesus. We don't have anything up to this point as to why he wants to encounter Jesus. But something's going on inside of him. Much like when Nicodemus went to Jesus at night. You remember that story in John chapter 3? Nicodemus went at night. Something he needed to know. Something he needed to find out. And Jesus was the solution. Or at least would lead him to the solution. So Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He wants to encounter him. And he's willing to make whatever effort is necessary. Every time I picture this scene, even though he's short in stature, in order to climb the tree, you know there has to be a large crowd. It can't just be, there was 10 people over here. Because 10 people over there, what do you do? go over to the facade, right? Instead, he goes up into the tree so he can get a better view of Jesus. And what did he think would happen just having a better view? What did he think would be accomplished by that? What was in his heart, soul, and mind? What was his thought process as he saw Jesus there? What was he thinking? Well, whatever it was, Jesus knew. And Jesus looks up at him and says, basically, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, right? We're going to have dinner. We're going to have dinner together. Now, this is a major challenge in the Jewish eyes. Why? What did they refer to Zacchaeus as? A sinner. Now, from the text, had he lied? Had he stolen? Had he cheated? Just up to this point, you don't know any of this stuff, right? All we know is they decided this man is a sinner, and for you, Jesus, to go sit down at this man's table, for you to do that, that's terrible. You don't sit down with sinners. Now, let's be honest. We all have our line in the sand we draw when it comes to having dinner with somebody, don't we? I mean, I know I look outside my street there where I live in Elizabeth City, the intersection of East Broad and North Road, and there are people that walk my street, and they have, most of the time, they're up to some illicit activity. There's also a lot of good people. I interact with as many of them as I can, but there's some. And every once in a while, if you say something to the wrong one, next thing you know, can I have $10, can I have $5, can I have a dollar, whatever. And you wonder, if you turn them down, how are they going to react? Because they know where you live. So there's some shady people there. And I very seldom will ever walk up to one of them, I'm pretty sure, and say, hey, look, we're having dinner tonight. How about you come down over and have dinner with me and my wife? Now, why would I not do that? Yeah, almost everybody in this room I would invite to dinner, but there's a couple of you I'm not sure of, okay? Right. No, everybody here would be welcome to my house anytime. Well, almost anytime. Anyway, you draw the line. Well, the Jewish people, you don't sit down and eat with a tax collector, you don't eat with a publican, you don't eat with, and others. Remember Jesus got in trouble because what? He touched lepers, he invited prostitutes to come and think about God and salvation. I mean, this is what he did. So, and of course, you remember the famous statement that he made? You know, it's not the ones that are wealthy, I mean, ones that are healthy that needs the doctor. Who needs the physician? The ones that are sick. So, I've come to seek and to save the lost, he says. So, one of those that he's come to seek and to save is who? Zacchaeus. So, he looks up there, and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree, and he tells him to come down, and they're going out to eat. As you read through this text here, verse 8 in particular, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, this is at the dinner, Lord, here and now I give you half of my possessions, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Luke has left out a tremendous amount of material, don't you think? What was the discussion in that house? What has led this man? He saw Jesus. He's invited him to come to his house, and he's gone into his house to eat. And there's nothing else to tell us a whole lot about what's going on. But that discussion had to be something tremendous. Because in the middle of that discussion, somewhere along the line, Zacchaeus will cry out about something he needs to do. The Ethiopian eunuch was riding along, remember? Book of Acts, he's riding along in his chariot. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip's brought up alongside him by the working of the Holy Spirit. And he says, what are you reading? And he said, I don't know really. I understand. I'm trying to read. Is the man talking about himself or somebody else? So Philip gets up in the chariot and begins to preach to him or tell him from that passage about who? Jesus. That's what we're told. All of a sudden, the text says, the man says, hey, here's water. Stop the chariot. What keeps me from being baptized? Now, where in the world did that come from? It had to come from the discussion somewhere along the line. Philip had to tie salvation with baptism because otherwise this guy could have kept going right on his merry way, had raised his hands, received Jesus in his heart, touched the TV tube, whatever. You know, obviously you got caught the cynicism there on the TV tube, didn't you? All right. So that didn't happen. All of a sudden they got this discussion. And he stops the chariot. Well, here, Zacchaeus just stands up and says, look, I'm willing to give half of everything I own. Half of it. I don't care what it is. You can look at my closet and pull out all my clothes. You can look at my bank account, pull out my money. You can look at any other possession, my furniture, my house, whatever it is. Half of it, I will give to the poor. And then, now remember, he's a publican and he's a tax collector. There's a good chance that he has slighted somebody in his lifetime. And most people would say more than just somebody, probably a bunch of somebodies. So what does he do? He says, anybody that I've cheated, anybody here that thinks I've cheated you in any way, you come to me and I will give you back how much? Four times the amount. He's already given away half of what he's got and he's willing to take that on. That is a tremendous thing to do. To go ahead and reconcile those type of wrongs to make things right. This is a transformation that's taken place. Now, I'm willing to give the guy credit for having had a conscience over the years. I'm willing to give him credit for thinking he probably regretted some of his actions over the years. But he just never acted on them to this point. It's my personal belief that everybody here who's been created, every human being has been created in the image of God. And I think there's a spark of God in us that we refer to as our conscience. And we know the difference between right and wrong. Now, some people become so inclined to evil that they don't listen to that side of right and wrong much. They just do whatever they want. My hands are soft. You can see them. My hands are soft. But you see my dad's hands, even after all these years, he's been retired for at least 20-some years. His hands crossed here are just as calloused as they can be, even this part. Working with cast iron pipe, working with galvanized pipe, all the stuff, and then the knuckles are all busted up all over the place from all the work he's done, but they're calloused. Now, in order for a hand to get that calloused, what did it have to do? Huh? All right. Blisters were formed, I'm pretty sure. And then another blister would get formed. And pretty soon the callus forms, right? And you don't blister up anymore. That's sort of what some of us have done with our hearts and our conscience. We know right from wrong. We know things, what we should or should not do. But if we can just get a callus to form over our conscience, then things don't penetrate and we can continue to do what we want. And that's what a lot of people do. I've said before, if I didn't believe there was a God, I'd just try to become another Jesse James. Carol and I would ride around being Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah, can you imagine that? Just going in the banks. And why would I do that? Because if all there is this life, why don't you just eat, drink, and be merry? Because tomorrow you do what? And nobody's going to remember you in a few years anyway, unless you're famous or infamous. So that's what I would do. And I would just callous over. You know, just you rape, pillage, and burn, that type thing. Well, this man had to have some sort of conscience about him, some sort of regrets. And I think they've been simmering there for quite a while. He just needed Jesus to cause him to act on these things and get things right. He's been wanting, I think, to get things right for a while. Has anybody ever had something burning at you and you just knew you had to get it right? I knew one man. He took some items from his employer and he took them home. And the next time he took a little bit more from his employer and took them home. And he did that another time. He said that that ate at him for years. He changed jobs several times, but it ate at him so much. He finally went and got several $100 bills because time had changed. The price of things had gone. He got several $100 bills, just put it in an envelope, put a little note, said, I can't face you, but I do owe you. Something to that effect. And he sent it to him. He had to satisfy that inner that craving to do right. And I asked him, oh, so what changed you to make you want to do this? He said, Jesus. Just that simple, Jesus. When you encounter the true Jesus of the Bible, the real Jesus, when you encounter Him, changes start happening. If changes are not happening, your spirit, your part that belongs to God is getting calloused over. You're starting to justify and just do everything you can to rectify, to not to want to reconcile yourself with God. You want to stay away from Him. So, this man here, I think he had that within him the whole time. He just needed Jesus to make this transformation. Now, as a side note, those who don't think baptism has anything to do with salvation, I'm a Church of Christ guy, so you've got to stick that baptism thing in there once in a while, okay? Anybody who doesn't think baptism has anything to do with salvation, they always race to the thief on the cross, because what could the thief on the cross not do? He could not be baptized. All right? So they say, I want to do it just like the thief on the cross did. You know, and that's be saved. And I always say, well, if you find yourself hanging next to Jesus on the cross, then that's probably the way to go. But if you don't find yourself hanging next to Jesus, maybe that's not the way to go. But do you notice they never race to Zacchaeus? Notice how the passage ends here. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. So what did he do? He gave half of what he's got to who? The poor. And he also did what? Paid back four times. Nobody ever races to this passage and said, look, in order to be right from God, I'm going to give half of what I got to the poor, and anybody ever cheated anything, I'm going to give four times the amount. They always go to the thief on the cross, because that's the easiest passage to race to. That's your baptism passage, okay? Now, getting back to this here, what does this got to do with resolutions? Like I said, I think this man has been wanting to change his life for a long time, and the moment in time came. It started climbing the sycamore tree and looking down. It culminated in his house when he made his decision to put his faith fully in God and put his faith fully in Jesus and make the changes he needed to make. I've asked you several times during the message, do you have any regrets or anything that eats at your conscience, any misgivings you have? Well, when is the opportunity to do better? When is it? Now. When is the time of salvation? Now. Now is the time to do it. How many of you can live the past? Where is the past? It's gone. You got right here and now. You don't know how much future you got. So you got right here, this moment in time. So what I'm asking myself to do is say, is there anybody in my life that I need to go talk to and seek forgiveness from? Is there anybody that I've done wrong that I need to go make it right? Is there any situation in my life that I've not handled correctly that I need to go back and do what I can to make it right? Is there anything like that? Maybe you've got something like that, a chance to do better, to change, to make something new about it, because you've encountered Jesus. You need to work it out. You know, Jesus said, for example, if you've got a problem with your brother, you and your brother in Christ are not getting along, what should you do? Yeah, even in one place, he says, if you bring your offering to the table, don't put it in the plate. Go back and do what? Work it out with your brother, and then come back and bring your offering. That's how important it is to God, because God doesn't need the money. We know that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? So He doesn't need the money. He needs us to go and work it out, to make it right. So if you've got a neighbor, a family member, a friend that you need to work things out with, go work it out. Now, you can only do so much. We're told in one place, blessed are the peacemakers. We're told in another place that you can only do so much as far as it depends on you. Have peace with everyone as far as it depends on you. If the guy don't want to get along with you, the girl don't want to get along with you, whoever doesn't want to put up with you, there's only so much you can do. You have to do your part. That's all you can do. You can't force them. Anybody ever tried to force, let's say, a teenager to do something? It's like pushing a mule in a direction you want it to go, and it wants to go another way. And not just teenagers. We understand. A lot of us are stubborn and hard-headed, whatever. Think about what 2020 presents to you. Put the past behind you. Encounter Jesus. Make the changes that you need to make. Let Him transform your life. Let Him change you into what He wants you to be. Come out of the cocoon and fly. Be what God has called you to be. Zacchaeus got to do that. And notice what it said again. Today, salvation has come to this house. because this man who's the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Well, if you're not sure of the plan of salvation, you got to believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what they taught. Those who believed accepted the message, and they asked what they should do. They were told, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Repent of the life you've lived outside of Christ, outside of God. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. He'll meet you in the watery grave there. He'll provide you the forgiveness of sins that you seek. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Your name will be written down forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make that decision today. If you're already an immersed believer, and many of you are, you already made that decision. You already got immersed into Christ. And you've somehow slid back into some sort of sinful state. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Don't rationalize it. Don't explain it away. Say, God, I am a sinner. Be like tax collector in the temple. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful, please. God will do that. If you need our prayer support, come, we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're already an immersed believer, but for some reason you haven't placed your fellowship yet, place your fellowship. Join with us. For the rest of us, let's get to the mission. Let's get the work done. We're here to get equipped so we can go out and get the job done for Jesus Christ. Now, if I haven't answered all your questions and you want to talk afterwards, you want to discuss things, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you. Don't feel the pressure. You have to come up here right now. But do think about what God wants you to do and make that decision appropriately.